Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Tuesday morning edition as we continue in sharing with you. We're still on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but we are talking all this week and maybe next week on the gifts of the Spirit. And as I said yesterday in our lesson, I believe there are about 32 gifts of the Spirit. It's not just, you know, the gifts of the Spirit that we are accustomed of, that you hear most of the time. Now you don't hardly hear any more about those gifts, about, you know, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, working of miracles, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. We don't hear much about them, but these gifts are very important to the body of Christ. And one reason is because, as the scripture says, we are, you know, we have one body, just like my physical body. You have one body, but I got many members of that body. And and each part of my member of the body has need of each other. And without the help of some of the members of my body, well, there are just some things I'll be handicapped that I won't be able to do without the help of the member of that body. And that's what those gifts are for, you know, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. A lot of times, you know, we don't necessarily just need the gifts of the Spirit for the body of Christ, but the body of Christ need these manifestations that we may minister to the lost. It is one way, not the only way, but one way of God revealing himself to them through us. Remember, we are his hands, we are his mouthpiece, we are his eyes, we are his body. So God is a spirit, and so we are walking epistles in this day and time that we are, that we have. And so because we have this great power that lives within us, it's Christ in us, or another way to say, it's the anointing of the anointed one that lives in us, releasing. See, when we open our mouth, what are we doing? We're releasing life. So when you understand that, when you open your mouth, because it's his word, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. That living water is the word of God. So you're releasing rivers of living water to the captive, to the oppressed, to the depression, to the pain, to the sick, to the dead. So when you release life, then guess what? Whatever is filled with death or darkness, it must respond to the word of life. Because why? Jesus is Lord over all manner of sickness, over all manner of disease, because he couldn't give us the authority, he couldn't authorize us to do what? To heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, to cast out devils, if he didn't have the authority over it. But now that authority lies in the body of Christ. And so, again, many of these gifts of the Spirit today go untaught. You know, 40 years ago, we wouldn't even attempt to have church without the gifts of the Spirit. If the gifts of the Spirit, or if you wasn't filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even attend a church without it. Why? Because we recognize it was the power of God that was manifesting through man. And so today I want to just go back, and I want you to look at this with me as we open up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, And we're going to get into these different manifestations of the Spirit. But before we can get into that, I want us to go back over here to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's look here at verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14. And let's look at this in verse 2. I vow to, I've been teaching on this about a month now, and I vow to go back and start teaching on, about 1 Corinthians 14, because there's been a lot of misunderstanding, confusion about it. And I'm going to do my best to help you to understand the way the gift of the Spirit work. Okay, so I believe, first of all, before I go to 1 Corinthians 14, look here at Acts chapter 2. I'll go to Acts chapter 1. Let's look at that first. Jesus is the one out of Luke commissioning them that they should go to this place in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of their Father. In other words, they're waiting for the promise that what happened? Of that which Jesus himself operated out of. Okay? Jesus himself did not start his ministry without the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And so notice this. In Acts chapter 1, well, let's just go back a little bit further for some of you that, you know, that may have never seen this. In Luke chapter 24, John. Go with me to Luke 24. And let's look down here and look at verse 49 when Jesus was speaking to them. Notice this. And he said, "Hear, and behold, I send the promise." Now, this is after he's been raised from the dead. And he's standing before the disciples. And he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." See, I send the promise of my Father. The promise is that's why he said, it's expedient that I must go. For if I don't go, then the promise of my Father will not be able to come to you. In other words, the way that I function of raising the dead, causing the blind to see, He walked in the gifts of the Spirit. If you notice, Zacchaeus, you know, that was the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom that Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus. And then also prophesied to him, you know. But before I get to all of that, just look at this for a moment. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now, let me just explain this for a moment. They had never experienced this power in their life on their own. Because Jesus had this power and this authority, he was able to release it to them in his presence while he was here in what to do. But now that Jesus is in a glorified body, he cannot go about healing folks. He cannot go about raising the dead. He cannot go about and cleansing the leper because he has a glorified body. Now he's been restored restored back to the place with his Father in the original glory. The difference is here is that you got a glorified man seated in hell at the right hand of the Father. Now that's powerful in itself. But Jesus here is telling them that they were to tarry here in this place. Now, we don't have to tarry for this power anymore. It has never hit the earth like it did. Now it's all over the globe that whoever will open themselves up to receive this power of praying in other tongues, This is where the forces of life is, of the glory of God is released out from you. And notice this, he said in verse 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hand and he blessed them. I believe this is when they got, this is where they got born again. And notice this, and it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, right before their very eyes. That, you know, that right there is a sign of showing you how the rapture gonna be taken, how the rapture will take place. We just boom, just be lifted up out of here. Amen. And notice this, and it says, and it came to pass that while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him. And notice this, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So we know now what they were doing in that temple. Now go over to Acts chapter 2. Go with me over here to Acts chapter 2. They were in the temple blessing and praising God. Why? Because he told them to go there and stay there and wait for the promise of the Father. Amen. And so here we are in Acts chapter 1. Notice this. In Acts chapter 1 here, this is the resurrection ministry of Christ now. Look over here in verse 3. He said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. So in other words, Jesus has mentioned this to them many times. He says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when, notice this, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And, you know, Jesus went on to answer that. But here's the key I wanted you to see. Here's the commission that he gave to them in Acts 1:8. Watch this. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. Well, this is what Jesus was saying. The works that I do, we talked about in John 14:12, and greater works shall ye do. Why? Because I go to the Father. Meaning now the Holy Spirit is not only just upon me, but the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus came and said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because he was the one that did what? Release the kingdom of God. How? Through words. The kingdom of heaven, the earth was created by what? Words. And it was created by who? God. And who was the word? Jesus. So Jesus became the living epistle, the living word that manifested himself for 33 and a half years on the earth, but he did no miracles in his first 30 years of a life. No miracles took place until Jesus was 30 years of age. So for 3.5 years, Jesus functioned. The power of the Holy Ghost came upon him. It didn't say it was a dove. It said in the form of a dove. Okay. And so when it came upon him, that's when Jesus begun to do what? Called, turn water into wine. Caused the leper to be cleansed. Is that right? To raise the dead man. Is that right? And notice this. So here, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Right? And notice this. And he said, whereas both unto Jerusalem, and that would today Jerusalem would be whatever city, whatever state, whatever nation you and I are living in right now, it's still the same. This is where it started. Okay? Now, we're fast-forwarding this over here to Acts chapter 2. And notice this, and we'll pick it up in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians to explain. But I wanted to show you that speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, having this power come up on you, is not a man's idea. It's not an idea of a pastor, of an apostle, of a prophet. No, it was God's idea through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so if God thought it was important, if the Lord Jesus thought it was important for us to be filled with the Spirit, to walk with the Spirit, then I'm saying this today. It doesn't make a difference how many churches don't teach it. It don't make a difference how many churches try to do everything they can to keep the gifts of speaking in tongues or the gifts of the Spirit out of worship. Because if you don't learn it, then you won't be able to live on the street where others are and minister to them in this power. Because why? You're going to be afraid. You're going to be timid. You're going to be in unbelief. Why? Because you're not being taught or fed in this light, because this is how the captives go free. God can't come down himself. Jesus can't come down in a glorified body in himself and begin to lay hands on the sick. The Spirit, the life of Christ that was raised from the dead, is now living inside of us. We, this body, is a carrier of that anointing. He need my hands. The Spirit of God is global. But if there's no hand, if there's no feet on the ground, if there's no mouth speaking, if there's no eyes to see what the Spirit of God is saying, no ear listening to hear what God wants to do, then guess what? The Spirit itself is present, but it needs the body. That's you and I. That's why the Bible says we are one body, just like the physical body, one body, but it has many members. Well, we are the body of Christ. We are one body, but we have many members of that body, many functions in that body. And without you and I doing our part in ministering, no matter what we see, no matter what's going on, God has positioned us to do what? That we can rely upon the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ with this power, being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We can go up and raise the dead. We can go out and cast devils off. We can go out and see all manner of sickness. I'm seeing it all the time. Just releasing the Spirit of the anointed one that's in me. And so can you. And notice this. So when he told them that, if you fast forward this for time's sake, you notice in Acts chapter 2, and it says, and when the day of Pentecost will fully come, this is Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost will fully come, they will all feel with one accord. Well, the day of Pentecost is coming, what, about 50, 40, something, 48, 49 days, 48 days from today? It would be Pentecost. It's when they will fill with this power. Look, I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of the body of Christ. So by no means am I going to wound my own or cut down my own. But what I'm saying to you is that we who are leaders, especially in the body of Christ, that we are pastors, that we are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, we got to go back and start studying these manifestations of the Spirit. We got to go back and look at these scriptures again and recognize that we cannot be ashamed to teach about the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our ministries, in our churches, or wherever we are. Why? Because people's lives are at stake. God gave these gifts to men, again, many times, so that the lost will understand that that God is real. Because they can't see him, but they can see you and I. They can't hear him, but they can hear you and I. He's speaking through us. But just think about you up there standing up there talking to someone you never knew, and then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost begin to give you their name, give you where they stay. Now, he don't have to, but guess what? A lot of times God will do that, so what? So that person will know that God is alive. And you got to understand, when the scripture says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave, what did he give? He gave his only begotten son. So if it take the word of wisdom, which is God's comprehensive insight within himself to do what? To bring about a good. Well, God will use a word of wisdom to speak through your mouth, to reveal things about an individual and how to go about something. A word of knowledge is revealing something that he already knows about them that only he knows. And that individual in the front of them don't know any of this. And it's just like saying, how could he know that? Well, that's God reaching out through those gifts. But if we don't teach these things, if we don't begin to act and prepare ourselves, allowing the Holy Ghost to move through us as the Spirit will, well, he can't function through us if we don't hear about it, if we don't hear words of faith up about it. What does the scripture say? So then faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God. So if the word of God is not being taught about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, with the speaking in other tongues, allowing the gifts of the Spirit to function, having an understanding, then your people will not be able to go out and do what? You'll sit by a person that's lost, that's hurting, that's afflicted, and yet all the power resources inside of us to be released to that person whom you sitting by at a football game, or whom you standing behind in a grocery store, or whom you live in a community that is afflicted. All this power, all this anointing is in you. It is not for us to keep locked in, but it is for us to release it by faith. Amen. And so here, I want to, you know, close with this, but I'm opening you up to this is where we're going to go, because I'm going to start talking about 1 Corinthians 14, putting it in its proper place so that you can understand why you and I should be, every believer should be spirit-filled. God didn't choose some to be spirit-filled and others not. No, every believer should be spirit-filled to do what? To be effective in this world. And so here we see again in Acts 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost will fully come, they were all in one accord. Well, we see something right there. Why were in one accord? What were they doing? They were praising and worshiping God because Jesus told them to go and don't leave that place until they receive the promise of their Father. And so they were rejoicing. And they were thankful that they saw their Lord, that he's alive, and that now they were candidates to receive that power. Jesus, they just got born again. See, they couldn't get born again until Jesus was raised from the dead. So in Luke 24:49 I think that's where they got born again. But right here in Acts 1:8, Acts 2, they received that power, that Jesus, the promise of the Father. And that's when it says, in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. See, a sound from heaven as of a rushing. They didn't say what? As of a rushing mighty wind. You know, we can hear wind like tornado, winds of hurricane, a rushing mighty wind, you know, and it can bring forth some terror. It can tear up something. Well, this force came in that kind of likeness. But that power came to rest on the inside of us so that we can release that power, because it comes from heaven. It comes from God itself. It's the promise of the Father. And notice this. He said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Notice it didn't fill the hole. It filled the house where they were. That means where you are, that house is being filled. When you go to the grocery store, the glory of God is filling that place because what? You are there. See, I want you to understand, you are the one that's empowered. You are the one that's authorized over sickness, over disease, over poverty, over lack, over insufficiency. You're the one that God has authorized. So when you step out of your vehicle, when you step out of your bed, you've been authorized again today to walk in this glory, this glorious manifestation. Notice it said here, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they appeared unto them a cloven tongue like as fire, and it set upon each of them. Wow. The fire. So in other words, so they felt it. They realized it caused a manifestation. The manifestation of what? It's not a different spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that you receive Christ with, but it's like taking a glass and putting it under a water spigot. And if you leave it there, what happened? It's water in the glass, but if it stays, it overflows. Well, that's what you have. You have an overflowing of the same Holy Ghost that you received when you got born again. The only thing about it is now, that spirit, that same spirit that's in you, you didn't feel, you didn't open yourself from drunk so much or whatnot, that the overflow causes you and I to have an outward reaction, which is speaking in other tongues. Are you following what I'm saying? And it's like you're releasing what you have partook. And that's why the Bible said, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So when you feel, notice this. This is a sign. This is one outward sign when one is filled. But just speaking in other tongues is just not enough. But speaking in other tongues positioned me. It emboldens me to do what? To do something, to go and walk up to someone that I don't know, to pray for them, to minister to them that I don't know. You're not doing it in your might. You're not doing it in your strength. You're doing it in His boundless might, which He provides for you. You're doing it out of the strength that is within you. You're releasing it, but you're that body that He's releasing that anointing through. It's not your anointing, it's Jesus. But He needs your body, my body. He needs your feet, my hands, your hand, my lips, your lips, to do what? To speak. And so notice this. And so he said, and suddenly there was a sound that came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were all sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire that set upon each of them. And they were all filled. See, didn't say they had it. They were filled with it. They already had. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they begun to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Are you understand what I'm saying? And that's what you are not. You are you get full of the Holy Ghost. Notice it, it's set up. So therefore, a person right now, if you have not prayed in other tongues and you desire to be filled with this Spirit, this life that I'm saying, I'm not talking to you about an indifferent life. I'm speaking to you out of the same life that you got born again, the same Holy Spirit that was with you when you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you have not received the fullness of that Spirit. And when you receive the fullness of the Spirit, it's the outward sign of knowing that you have received. You will begin to start worshiping God, not in your language, but you start worshiping God. It just come up. Why? Because you're filled with that life, and that life is bringing forth a different utterance. It's bringing forth an utterance not of your natural language, because that's what it is. It's a natural language of someone language in the earth. I just don't know whose language it is. That's not important at this moment. What's important is that it is a strength. It's an inward strength, not in my spirit, but it's an inward strength in my soul. It's an inward strength that takes my mind, my will, and my emotion, and it begins to transform my thoughts. It begin to transform my will, the choices I make. It begin to transform my emotion. It teaches me how to harness my emotion, what to be excited about, what to feel good about, and what not to feel good about. Why? Because it's the presence of Almighty God being released into a person, an atmosphere, to stop a crisis, to overcome an issue, to do what? You are the problem solver. We are God's instrument to solve whatever problem, whatever issue that is on this earth. You are the watchman. You can't look to no one else. You and I are the watchman. But if you don't have that type of understanding yet, see, the only way you can have this is when you are full of the Holy Ghost. So when you begin to worship Him, if you never prayed in tongues, you may begin to start worshiping Him in your native tongue. And, you know, Lord, I worship You. Lord, I praise You. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then all of a sudden, as this, you know, the spirit inside of you by faith is rising. The spirit by faith on the inside of you is increasing. And then all of a sudden, you have to, as an act of your will, your tongue will no longer speak English. Now your head don't understand that. And it's going to want to fight you, because it's going to want to try to figure out what is being said. But there's a lot of things about us you don't understand. How you can inhale and exhale at the same time. You can talk and eat and breathe. You can run. You can walk. You can exercise. You can be angry. You can be full of joy at the same time while exhaling and inhaling. And you didn't even pass. You didn't even miss a heartbeat. But you never questioned it. You see, it's the work of the enemy to do what? To bring us to a place that, whereas trying to keep us from walking in the fullness of the gifts that God has for us. And when one is filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, then these manifestations in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11, they will function. God can move through us, and He can begin to minister to whomever, whether it be another believer, whether it be someone lost, whether it be someone that's hurting. It doesn't make a difference. You have been impacted with this glorious truth, and you have been authorized by your Lord and Savior that this is what I mean by it. Now you can meet the needs of mankind, regardless of what they are, because you have been filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And when you are filled with this spirit, all of a sudden, a boldness comes upon you. An attitude comes upon you to do what? To take authority. To begin to start ruling and reign. To begin to start coming against things that, whereas a person may have autism, or someone that may have some type of physical disposition, or maybe someone have lost them a finger, lost a hand, or whatever. I'm just telling you, God, the power of God, because the way He created us, we don't have to accept a missing member on the body, a missing ankle, a missing toe, a blind eye, and just live with it. The earth moaned and groaned for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. That's why you are filled with the Spirit. But if we, the body of Christ, and Lord, stop teaching on these gifts, stop, you know, expecting this, a move of God, because you are a move of God, because He's inside of you. But if we stop teaching on these things, if we stop releasing, having a confidence and an assurance that these things are real, then guess what? A person with a lost limb, with a blind eye, whatever it may be, they have to live with it because there's no hope. The hope is in you and I. It's Christ in you. It's that anointing in you. It's looking to be released. It's not you doing it, but he got to have your hand. He got to have your mouth. He got to have your feet to get there. They got to hear it. Your mouth is that bring forth the good news. See, I just got full. It just came out. I wasn't trying to do it. It just came out. That's what I'm saying. It's like living water. When it's like when you hit a gusher or something, it, you know, what happened? It spills over. That's what happened. It just spilled over just that moment ago. I didn't try to just pray and speak in tongues. But that's what happened. You hear the word, you feed on the word of life. You hear about with the power of God to change someone's life, to impact someone's life. It's just like, hashallah, you can't help it. You can't help it. And what happened? You get that when I pray like that, what happened? A confidence comes up. A strength comes about. And you're ready to make a stand like you have never made before. And you know it's not you. But you know on the inside of you, it'll say no. Why? Because that's the life of God inside of you saying, make that stand. It's not speaking, but you got that witness. You've been strengthened. You've been emboldened. Yeah, no. We're not moving. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. And then all of a sudden, you just start uttering, you know, my God will supply. My God will come through for us. You just watch and see. Oh, my goodness. And then all of a sudden, man, you walk away. And I know sometimes, then your mind will catch up and say, oh, my God, what did I just say? But you will feel. And what you did, you released. And when you released it into the atmosphere, you'll know. You'll know because your spirit will keep you. Your spirit will hold you, and it'll hold it'll hold your mind, which is your soul, from speaking indicative or indifferent from what you just utter out of your mouth. That's why the angel had to shut Zechariah up so that he would not void the prophecy of God. And Gabriel had that authority from God to shut him up and said, the first word you will utter out of your mouth after the baby is born, you will call his name, it will be a boy, and you will call his name John. You see the gifts of the Spirit working? All I'm saying to you, I can't go any further, but we're going to pick this up again tomorrow morning, or what not, God willing. Remember, we have our Grace Conference that is taking place. Tonight will be our third night. Pastor Jason Miller will be ministered to it. I praise God. I thank my friend, Pastor Carl Como, that ministered last night. So if you want to hear what he shared on, you can, if you subscribe to the Favorite Church podcast, then you can go and listen to Pastor Carl's lesson that he talked on last night about spiritual warfare. And he gave the descriptive meanings of using his own 14 years of being in the police department, of how the armor he had, the gears he had, and how the badge gave him the authority to do what? To speak to people or to do things according to the law. Amen. And so we too have this same spirit. We have this power. But guess what? We have this authority over all the power of the enemy. But if you don't learn to use it, and let me just say this, if you're not filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you won't walk in this authority that he talked about last night. You won't walk in this authority that I'm speaking of today. You just pass by someone, or you just look at life, and you just be able to just, you know, just like the lost person, just pray that it don't get no worse. I just pray that, you know, things will change or whatever. No, you are the change. You are the change. Amen. Well, look, my time is coming and going, and I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning in our online Bible school. If you want to listen to this over again, I do have a podcast called Grace Institute Online Bible School, and you can go to your whatever podcast you have, whether it be Google, whether it be iHeartRadio, whether it be Apple Podcasts, whatever. We own all the major podcasts. Just put in that Grace Institute Online Bible School, and you'll be able to upload the lesson for the day and all the others that we've been teaching. And I'll ask one thing. Just share it with others. Why? Because the church is suffering from not allowing these gifts to function as the Spirit of God will. We need these gifts. The world needs these gifts. And we're the disciples of today. And if we don't open our mouths and begin to exercise the faith of Christ that's in us with all the awesomeness that he has given unto us, then we're going to lack, amen, people living, you know, still they're alive, but they're living in pain. They're living in sorrow. They're living with severe oppression because they don't know how to come from under it. But if sitting out a person like you, your spirit will pick up on it. It'll pick up on that hurt. Why? Because Jesus already paid the price for it. And he'll pick up on that thing, and then all of a sudden, you'll strike up a conversation because the Holy Ghost is what? That's the evidence that he wants that person free. They can't know that Jesus paid that price without seeing a person like you and I. Now, I'm about ready to get started again. Look, I love you. I praise God. I thank God for you. And remember, we love for you to partner with us. If the word is helping you, blessing you, increasing you, as you sow into this anointing, what are you doing? You're partaking of it. And notice it. You begin to start reaping the same benefits. Amen. Of sowing into someone else. What are you doing? You're sowing into a word that's setting you free. That's causing you to move forward, to make a stand that you would never have made in your life on your own. And I know what that's like. Well, I love you. I thank God for you. And that's what I always say. Until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. God willing, we'll do it again tomorrow. Bye-bye, everyone.